This is your tech news briefing for Friday, August 5th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. In the US and Europe, large tech companies are often viewed as too big, too powerful, and unaccountable. But in other parts of the world, it's a different story. Tech giants like Google, Meta, and Microsoft are often seen helping secure liberal values and protecting against political crackdowns, things Western governments often want to promote. So how did we end up with this divide in perception? On today's show, WSJ's chief economics commentator Greg Ipp joins us to discuss why the situation formed and what it means for how tech companies operate. That's after these headlines. Warner Brothers Discovery is exploring launching a free ad-supported streaming service. The company already has paid streaming services, Discovery Plus and HBO Max, which it's working to combine. CEO David Zaslav said yesterday that once that's rolled out next summer, the company sees potential in turning its attention to an ad-supported service. This comes as streaming rivals Netflix and Disney Plus both work on developing their own ad-supported platforms. Yesterday, we got some more earnings reports from the gig economy. Lyft said swift belt tightening helped it post stronger than expected results in the second quarter in the face of rising inflation. Adjusted operating profit, a figure that strips out some items, was just over $79 million, well ahead of Wall Street's forecasts. But the company still posted a net loss of over $377 million, wider than a year ago. Lyft has been taking steps to cut spending, including slowing recruitment and last month laying off just under 2% of its staff. Results were also positive for DoorDash as customers continued to order takeout and groceries even as restaurants reopened. Revenue last quarter grew to $1.6 billion, up 30% from a year earlier. Total orders for the quarter grew 23%, but DoorDash was also helped by higher menu prices and its acquisition of European food delivery company Wolt, which closed during the quarter. Alibaba posted its first quarterly revenue decline since it went public in 2014. The drop was slim, just under 0.1% from a year earlier, but the e-commerce giant has been among the country's fastest-growing tech companies for years. Profit also fell by almost 50% to the equivalent of nearly $3.5 billion. Alibaba blamed pandemic-related supply chain and logistics disruptions in April and May for the revenue drop. On top of that, it's been grappling with regulatory pressure in both the U.S. and China. Another company facing supply chain and logistics challenges, electric vehicle maker Lucid. The company has cut its production outlook for the year by half. CEO Peter Rawlinson told investors that work at its Arizona factory had been halted several times.
Now, from a production standpoint, we had both planned and unplanned pauses in the quarter that resulted in approximately 2.5 weeks where we had no daily production at the factory, in addition to pauses of a more transient nature related to supply chain and logistics issues.
This is the second time this year that the California-based company slashed its 2022 production target. All right, coming up, why do people in Ukraine, India, and other countries around the world view big tech as a protector of freedom, even as its influence is questioned back home? We'll discuss after the break.
If you don't know your numbers, you don't know your business, especially in today's economy. But over 31,000 businesses do know their numbers because they use NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program. Head to netsuite.com/wallstreet.
Big tech is often viewed as a villain in the U.S. and by many of its Western allies. Concerns about tech companies' influence over the marketplace, that they're too big, the way they gather and use data, often paint tech giants as bad guys. But elsewhere, some of those same attributes, their size, ability to control information, and the liberal values they carry, lead citizens and some governments to see them differently. In many parts of the world, big tech is seen as a trusted ally and a weapon for supporting Western values against the growing influence of Chinese and Russian tech. Joining us to discuss how this dichotomy was created and what it means for big tech around the world is WSJ's chief economics commentator, Greg Ip. Hi, Greg. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
So let's start by talking a little bit about Ukraine. I know early in the war, they adopted kind of a new law to allow, you know, Amazon, Microsoft, other cloud providers to take their data. Why did they put so much trust in these big Western companies?
Obviously, Ukraine is not your typical client. Their needs were very urgent and very severe. They were literally worried that within days, Russia could invade and either destroy or seize the data that the Ukrainian government relies on. And if you think about it, a lot of the infrastructure of modern statehood depends on knowing, for example, what your tax records are, your land registry, criminal records, and all those sorts of things. And if that information had fallen into Russian hands or been destroyed, the Ukrainian state would have imploded. So essentially, they amended the law so that they could get help from Western companies to basically back up and then safeguard the data. And there really are only a few companies in the world with this kind of technological expertise. And the companies they turn to are familiar names to us, like Amazon Web Services, Google, Microsoft, and Oracle.
Okay, but like you said, they had kind of a unique need. So does that mean that they sort of threw out concerns about working with these big companies, or did they have more trust in them?
So these companies have obviously established a fair bit of trust around the world. They have collectively around, you know, 70% of the world market share for cloud computing. But I also think that we in the West have perhaps a distorted view of big tech, partly because the issues that we are so concerned with right now are very specific to our particular society. There's a lot of concerns about, well, they leave up this content which is intolerant, or they take down this content which just reflects their particular political biases, or they're large, they're suppressing competition because they're so big. To a country like Ukraine, and honestly to most countries in the world, those are very much secondary, tertiary issues. What they care about is the data there? And is it secure from tampering? And does it offer the basic protections that we need? And that is what Ukraine wanted. And there were really only these companies that could do it. There are Chinese suppliers in this space, but there's deep mistrust of Chinese companies because the Chinese government just does not have the same devotion to things like security and the rule of law and privacy that American and other Western governments have.
I mean, tech in itself is kind of this apolitical thing. It's, you know, just a tool. So it's really about the corporate behavior, right? And is that something that countries are weighing up when they think about using different companies?
I don't think it's top of mind, but it actually, I think, emerges when you begin to evaluate how these companies operate. So, for example, if you're going to allow, say, a Twitter or a Google search in your country, you're probably first and foremost thinking about, well, is Google Search a good search engine? Or is Twitter a useful microblogging platform? But then think about some of the controversies they get involved in, and you begin to see how these companies respond differently because they're American than, for example, a local competitor might. Last year, the Indian government was involved in a big controversy over changes to agricultural laws, and there were a lot of protests by farmers. And a lot of people were tweeting support for these protests, including some American celebrities. And the Indian government ordered Twitter to take those posts down. And Twitter argued that the Indian government did not have the legal right to do that, and they fought that order. The Indian government responded by essentially attacking Twitter, threatening to jail their employees, and encouraging everybody to move to a different platform called Ku, which is a domestic Indian-born competitor. And Ku happens to be much more accommodating to requests from governments to take material down.
So, Greg, tell me, are any of those values that we've been discussing reflected in the actual technology that these companies are developing?
I had an interesting conversation with a representative of Amazon Web Services. It was intriguing the layers of security that are built right into the product. So first of all, there's encryption, right? So in theory, even if somebody broke into the system and got the data, they couldn't read it because it's all encrypted. Secondly, Amazon actually used their own microchip design called Nitro, in which the functions that Amazon employees can access are physically separate from the functions that clients can access. And then if a government comes to them and demands the data, they have a whole set of protocols of things that they go through before they'll actually cooperate with that kind of an order. And in that respect, the way it was explained to me, it's helpful that the United States has actually passed a number of laws that set down very clearly under what circumstances either the U.S. government or a foreign government can ask a U.S. cloud provider for their data.
I mean, we have seen backlash, you know, the examples that you mentioned, but also, you know, others in China and in Russia to the way some of these big Western tech companies behave and a promotion of local tech companies. Are we headed to a place where there's an ideological divide in terms of how big tech companies operate globally?
I think we are, Zoe. In fact, the Minister of Digital Transformation for Ukraine, Mikhailo Fedorov, spoke to me about this when we met in Davos back in May. He said that technology basically is dividing into two paradigms. In the first paradigm, data is the property of the citizens. In the second paradigm, data is the property of the state. China and Russia, he said, represent that second paradigm. The West is the first paradigm, and Ukraine wants to be part of that first paradigm.
Do we know how U.S. politicians are reacting to this, or how this kind of impression of these companies abroad is being read back in the U.S.?
You know, big tech is one of those few issues on which both Democrats and Republicans can agree. They both seem to have major beefs with these companies for one reason or another. And that's one of the reasons you see bills in Congress with bipartisan support that would do various things to clip their wings, you know, limiting their market power to allow more competition and so forth. But there are voices out there, including the United States, that worry about going too far, that worry that if you weaken these companies, for example, by forcing them to open up their platforms to all comers, that you also weaken their ability to offer a real alternative to Chinese and Russian providers abroad.
All right, that's WSJ's chief economics commentator, Greg Ip. Thanks for joining us, Greg.
Thanks for having me, Zoe.
And that's it for Tech News Briefing this week. Our producer is Julie Chang. We had editorial support from Scott Salloway. Our supervising producer is Chris Zinsley. Our executive producer is Kateri Yoakum. And I'm your host, Zoe Thomas. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.
Welcome to Free Expression, a new podcast from The Wall Street Journal with me, Jerry Baker, editor-at-large of The Wall Street Journal. It's a podcast in which we're going to be trying to do something a little different, dig a little deeper into the issues behind the headlines that are in the news all the time. So please join me for my new podcast, Free Expression, with Jerry Baker at The Wall Street Journal. We're very much looking forward to really having some fascinating conversations, and I very much hope you'll join us.